Hello, we are at our show, the weekly portion, this time the portion of In the Desert, Bamidbar. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello. Hello, Moshe Admoni. Hello. So the portion of Bamidbar in the desert begins with the commandment of the Creator to enlist the tribes of Israel and to give them, to take people to the army, people who are over 20 years of age, and to appoint the heads of the tribes, the presidents. After the appointment, Moses has to explain how each tribe will be located in the order of walking in the desert and stopping in the desert according to the tribes, according to their flags, according to the four directions, and in the middle of the tribes, the tabernacle will be. One of the main topics of the portion is the commandment that keeps returning and repeating about separating the tribe of Levi from the other tribes. It's a tribe that does not go to the army. It's a tribe that is completely dedicated to the Creator and to the service of the tabernacle. Also, inside the tribe of Levi, there is a division into a number of families, and one of these families, Kehati, are servants of the Holy of Holiest, the holiest place in the tabernacle. And the job of the Levites is to assemble and disassemble the tabernacle in each and every parking and stopping in the desert and moving forward of the people of Israel in the desert. They have very precise and clear regulations about how to take care of each and every part of the tabernacle to keep all the vessels. The Levites also are under the priests, and they need to help them in the service of the tabernacle. Rav Lightman, what exactly is hiding in all of these details? So we're talking about the whole process of advancing in the desert. We begin with the Creator having created the will to receive, the desire to enjoy, to fulfill oneself. And this desire develops. It developed in a very simply, in a simple way, with the suffering pushing us from behind to escape from where we feel uncomfortable, and pleasures pulling us from the front to advance to where we'll feel better. And this happens to us in each and every moment. Wherever you look, whatever you do, also advertisement, everything around us, we've learned how to use this, both sufferings and pleasures, in order to aim ourselves, or maybe somebody else who wants to use us knows how to use this mechanism in order to get his way. So, however, when we reach the development that's begun since the days of Babylon, which is the beginning of the nation of Israel, we see that there we're already beginning to see a blending, not only the egoistic desire that wants to enjoy to the maximum and suffer to the minimum, or purchase the best thing for the smallest price. This is something we know from our life. But if we really want to advance correctly to the spiritual form, this is not enough for us. We ourselves need to be drawn towards something that is not our ego. We're not aimed by our ego, but the point in the heart, as it's called, the desire to discover divinity, to discover the Creator, as we learn from the definition of the wisdom of Kabbalah, that the wisdom of Kabbalah is the method of the discovery of the Creator to a person in this world. And a person who's living in this world has to discover this. How do we discover the Creator? He is hidden, after all. So the wisdom of Kabbalah explains to us that He is hidden from us, He's concealed, because our vessels, our senses, cannot perceive Him. There are many things that exist in the world, and we cannot perceive them. Only gradually we build all kinds of apparatuses, all kinds of technologies. We have telescopes and microscopes to expand our vision, goggles, even glasses, which help me expand my field of sight or focus it to smaller scales. We have radars and all kinds of sensors that I build all kinds of such small machines for myself so that I'd sense even the slightest vibrations or be able to see the biggest things also, radio waves and x-rays. There are many things in the world that we only discover But we do not have the initial sense to sense them with in ourselves. We discover them within our own senses, but only with this help of extra apparatuses or machines that we or technology that we add to our natural senses. So there are a lot more phenomena in our reality, in the environment, that we cannot discover. We can never discover. Why can't we? Because they are, to begin with, not fit to our vessels of perception, to our senses. These are phenomena that you can only perceive and feel if we raise ourselves to a higher degree. Just like something from the still level cannot understand what it means to be a vegetative, to be a plant, and a plant doesn't understand what it is to be an animal, and an animal can't understand what it is to be a human. These are different worlds, different calculations, different thoughts, knowing the past, present, and future. Say, a man, as opposed to the dog, a pet, these are two different worlds. The completely different lifestyle, type of life. So here we're talking about a new degree, another degree that is not even like, it's not even an upgrade to the previous degree. It's not that we need to make something better here or to add something, some radar, some goggles, some extra technologies. No. We need to change our own nature, our original nature. This is the problem. Because in our reality, there is the Creator and creation. And the Creator is entirely in bestowal, and creation, the created, the creature, is completely in the desire to receive. So if we want to discover the Creator, we need to be in the same attributes as Him. And we, the way He made us, are in opposite attributes. He bestows and we receive. How do we attain such a quality? We can't turn into the Creator. I myself am not able to get rid of my nature because it's all that I am completely. There's nothing in me, and it's impossible for me to, because I'm built of this to begin with, even before I even existed. The force came, the force of the Creator came and created me in this copy. Like when, with a stamp. And then I'm complete opposite of Him, and nothing can help. So what do? Therefore, there is a method. Because I'm opposite to Him, that He created me in this way, in this sort of stamp or opposite form to Him, I can turn myself around. And if I use my qualities in the opposite way, the opposite of what I received from Him to begin with, I become alike to Him. I remain myself with my desires to receive and to only enjoy and so on, but I can use them in the opposite way. And this is called that all of my, with that I use all my qualities and I turn to Him, that I use them in order to bestow to Him. What do you mean opposite? In what way are we opposite? The Creator is completely opposite to us. He gives us 613 pleasures, lights. These are called 613 Oha de Oraita. These are all together, they are called the Torah. And they have, and it has 613 lights in it. This place that is called Torah has 613 lights in it that are personal. And these personal lights, individual. These individual lights have created within me 613 egoistic desires to enjoy. And to begin with, they are egoistic in order to receive, to enjoy. And together they are called the evil inclination. And therefore, It is written that one's nature is evil from youth. So then I, to begin with, am an egoist in these 613 desires of mine towards the Creator. I am the one who uses, I am the one who wants to receive, to fill myself with these 613 lights, doesn't matter what, I want to enjoy. And if I cannot change my nature. These 613 desires remain, and they are all in order to receive. But if I add the intention to it, that I'll receive this not in order to enjoy alone, but in order to give pleasure to the Creator so that He will enjoy that I enjoy. And I begin, all in all, I only begin to be more considerate of Him. It's just like a little child that suddenly he attains this understanding that he can do this not only for his sake, but only because his mother enjoys it. So already he adds an extent of identification with his mother. He's closer to her. He understands her more. He brings her pleasure, and he also enjoys bringing her pleasure, meaning he has this great addition, very big addition, to what he does, to what he used to receive and enjoy alone before, without any attention to his mother. And this is how we can become alike to the Creator. So in our nature, the will to receive remains, but we add the intention. Adding the intention upon the will to receive is called not exactly walking with the egoistic evil inclination or will to receive, but I begin to sweeten it. How much am I able in my life to think that as I receive and enjoy, that by that I am making giving to the Creator, and having Him feel good. So I have this left line of reception. To that I add the right line of kavanah, of intention. And the reception is where I take for myself, and the intention is where I give to the Creator. Bring me so that I can give to you. And I'm doing this in order for you to enjoy. And then I have two lines. Now, the will to receive that I have is very big. Let's say 100 kilos. The light that comes to me, perhaps, is also 100 kilos. And the intention that I need to, of thinking of the Creator, let's say, is only 20 kilos. So then, if the right line is 20 kilos and the left line is 100 kilos, then I need to restrict the left line and say that I will only receive to the extent that I can give to bestow. This calculation is called the middle line. And this walking that I walk in such a way, this is called the desert. And truly, this is not simple. There are many preparations in order to reach this stage of work in the desert. It's no coincidence that it's written in the weekly portion that this is a work that one does after the age of 20. We already have conception, ibul, and then the years of breastfeeding, yenika, and the years of adolescence, the bar mitzvah. And then once one comes to the age of 20, he becomes eligible or worthy of, he has the strength to work with his desire in order to receive with the right intention. And this is why they're only counted from 20 and up. Yes. From the age of 20, it means that one is already allowed to deal with real estate, meaning with the land, with the will to receive. The land is the will to receive. So from this age, we already count this person as an adult who was already able to go to the army. It's clear to us what the army is, one who can fight him with himself, battle with himself, in order to do everything he does in the intention to bestow to the Creator. And by that, one also reveals the Creator. To the extent he has a middle line, then he is fit to the Creator. Even though inside he is opposite, it means he's become alike to the Creator, and therefore he's called Adam, human. So by intentionally preparing himself in this way to give pleasure to the Creator, just like the Creator gives to him in this middle line. I am to my lover as my lover is to me. And by that, I discover the middle line, the Creator, the upper force. And then by that, I discover everything I need, because there is none else but him. There is nothing else. I already know the past, present, and future. I know everything. To this extent, I begin to control reality. And the middle line is called Israel, straight to the Creator, Yashar Kel. And in order to reach the middle line, we have four different components. The left line, the right line, the middle line, that I organized all of this, and then the image of the Creator is revealed to me below all of this in Malchut. Then we have the flags, and the main flag is the flag of the camp of Ephraim, which is for Malchut. And then we have all the three lines, left, right, and middle, and Malchut, which receives from them. We learn this in a certain form also with the Sefirot. It's Netzach Hod Yesod, and from the Yesod, Malchut receives in the Zivug De'aka'a with the Yesod. It already receives this. Now, whoever is able to work in this way, it depends on what degree is able to work with this, he is called either Israel or Levi or priest, Kohen. And from here, it's clear that all of Israel need to serve the Levites, and the Levites already serve in the vessel of reception that they prepare, which is a tabernacle and all of that. And then they help the priests, the Kohens, who are in the true work of revelation of the Creator in receiving the upper light from him. And then from them, it comes back down and spreads, these lights spread to, well, the family of Kehad. There are some special things that we work with. So the Levites prepare the tabernacle, and the priests do the work itself. Of course, it's not the Levites, priests in Israel that we see today. We can't divide the people, the nation, in this way today. But it's all in accordance to one's greatness of degree. When a person rises up these degrees, he reaches all these degrees, and by that advances. All of the work is done inside the will to receive, the initial will to receive, this raw will to receive, which is all evil inclination in a way that has not been corrected yet. And this is called the desert. Therefore, the method of working with this will to receive and how to do it is called the work of the desert. This is the portion here. And that's all. Okay, so my first question is, if I put myself in the shoes of the viewer and who's watching us now, I'm lacking this maybe at the end of the line, because there are people who are working with the Creator, perhaps there's those who say so anyway, but I don't work with him, I don't feel him, I don't have 613 types of pleasures. Maybe I can count a number of sufferings. I'm sorry to blame him. It's not called that you're working. Okay, so I want to know, what is this? If you could maybe bring this closer to our life. No, we can't do that with our life, because our life isn't organized according to three lines. They're below all of these things. Our life is only how to receive and how to enjoy. But you said these desires are in order to receive and give to him. What do you mean? This is called to receive in order to bestow. Therefore, this style is called work for those who have reached a degree that is called above the age of 20. You want to talk about what happens before that? There are degrees that are lower than that, but also there are degrees where a person reaches only by drawing the light that reforms through the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah. That's the only way to do it. Where is this work environment exactly? It's between us, in the connection between us. Okay. Yes, I can't tell of everything together, the entire world. Okay, gradually we'll break it into pieces. Okay, so I'm trying to understand, what are these concepts of receiving in the connection between us? What is kavanah? What is intention if it has to do with the connection between us? The Creator is the bestowing force, and I am the receiver. I want to use everything, this entire reality. which is all his appearance towards me. I don't feel him more than what I feel this entire reality. I want to discover this active force that is active in matter, in reality, and in me. He acts within me behind the scenes and also activates this entire reality, this environment around me, in such a way that it's operating upon me. Now, he is the bestower. And I, from my world, I cannot understand what to bestow is. Because if I look at each and everything as a good psychologist, I know and see that everybody are egoists. And if you can't exit this nature, and if you try to do this, if you see, look at people, you'll see that each and every person, finally, at the end of the day, only wants for their own favor, wants everything to be for their own good. So the only thing that can help is the force of the Creator, the light that reforms. If I organize myself in a special way, this special way, I change in some way. This some force comes to me and changes me. And this force is called the Torah, because the light in it reforms. So how do I need to organize myself in order for the Torah to operate upon me, to influence me? So we learned this in our previous portions. Also, we will soon reach the holiday of Shavuot, which is the condition for the reception of Torah, that we agree to be, we commit ourselves to be as one man and one heart, not to do unto others what you yourself hate, to be in mutual guarantee and responsibility, and love thy friend as thyself. And more such laws, don't hate your father, and so on, such lines that talk about how if you organize yourselves together, first of all, then the Torah will influence you. There is such a force within nature that will change your nature. What do I mean by change? It will add to you the intention to bestow, in order to bestow. You will change. You truly will want to give to others of all your heart. Try doing this. So there's a group that is called the Nation of Israel. Or we can create a group for the correction we want to perform today. We know we have such groups all over the world today. 2 million people were divided into groups all over the world, and they perform such exercises. What kind of exercises? They connect, they unite, and bond. Let's say 10 people. And they want, by that, in the connection between them, to become alike to the force of bestowal. They try to do this. They make an effort to do this, just like small children that are trying to be adults. They don't know exactly how to do it. Also, young children don't know, because before you reach this degree, how will you know? So we have, of all the Kabbalists, such rules and regulations, how we need to build such a group in which the light that reforms will be awakened and will change us and give us the intention to bestow, so that I will truly be able to be together with all these 10 people, this minyan, so that I will be able to be together with them in society, in this togetherness as one man in one heart, in a love of friends, out of which I will feel a change. This is how we do it. This is the practice, the actual realization of the wisdom of Kabbalah. This is how we work. It's written in many books. This is also how the first Hasidic people worked. And there are a lot of sources of this in Judaism. Let's say also the flag of the Camp of Ephraim. There's a very nice book that is called the Flag of the Camp of Ephraim, where you can also take all this work from. Also, the light and the sun, there are all kinds of names of books that talk about it. Tal of lights. Let's say from the Ari and onwards, all this literature began to appear, especially after the Ramchal also. There's a lot of Kabbalists who talk about this, but most importantly is the bonding of the group within which we learn between us, because between us we can see what's happening. Do I truly hate him? Do I love him? Do I want to bestow to him? Do I want to receive from him? What do I exactly feel? When do we reach the state between us that we are as one man? We leave all our bodies on the outside as if you hang them up on a hanger. And you come to sit around the table only with your point in the heart, only the points in the heart, only the souls are sitting around this table, because we all want to come together and be one soul. This is called being one man and one heart, and we want for it to be this way. And then, in this effort to be integrated, well, there are a lot of articles about this, there are actions to perform, but in this effort, we begin to feel that we are truly receiving a kind of unified desire and thought. The desires are called heart, and the thoughts are called mind. And so we have supposedly this man with one heart and one mind, Adam, and the light that reforms operates and gives us the intention in order to bestow. This intention is one for all, because if we don't try to unite between us and to become as one, the light doesn't appear from within. So we try to unite, and then the light awakens this connection between us. It connects us together truly, gives us the intention in order to bestow, and makes us one. This structure that we've reached in our connection is called Malchut, or Shekhinah, Holy Divinity, or Knesset Israel. Once we've reached this state of connection with the intention to give pleasure to the Creator, give satisfaction to the Creator, so by that we were to a certain extent alike to Him. And then this form that we want to bestow to Him, it begins to be received as the form of the Creator. This is called why it's called Bore, come and see, because it's revealed within us, between us. It's not between us anymore. It's in what we've built in the Holy Divinity. That is why it's called Shekhinah, because He resides within it, Shochen, inside these desires, inside our intention, in order to bestow. That's where He resides. And therefore, in this way, we discover Him, but only on the condition that we are together. And in this togetherness is what we need to constantly work on. Once we've done this for the first time, we've reached a certain revelation of the Creator. What happens to us next? We receive a heaviness of heart. Suddenly I look at you and think, what? Something's wrong with you and him also, and in others, all the other 9 friends of mine. I'm not able. Maybe they're okay, but I suddenly feel that I cannot subdue myself towards them and all myself. And also, I see these faults in everybody. As we know, whatever faults you see in others are your own faults, and also in myself and in others and in everybody else. So we receive this heaviness of heart. This is called that from this moment onwards, we've conquered or gone through a certain part of the desert, and the desert enters us. We've gone from one point to the next, to the second point, from A to B. And then this part of the desert enters us. It's still a desert. Dryness, all these scorpions and snakes and whatnot. And so again, we need to work. And again, when we work in this way, this is called that we make a stop. You know, it's a process in the desert. 40 years, it's over. They walked there for 40 years. What did they do in the desert? If we talk about it geographically, it only takes 2 weeks to walk through the desert. But, however, it doesn't matter how many turns you make, you still won't be able to walk for 40 years. But here, when you advance, you need to park and stop and perform this work that you've put all this part of the desert inside you. And then with all of this dryness, with all this ego that's been revealed, you now need to work again to have this right line and left line, the middle line, and the work in the group with all those men who are 20 years, people who are 20 years and and older. It's like an army where you maybe have 100,000 people in this army. So you divide them into tens, just like we learned before. Also with Jethro, who divided them. So this is how we build ourselves up, by the desert being inside us on the still level, the dry level, an inanimate level, until we begin to enliven it within ourselves and add it and add it and add it to ourselves until we've completed to correct it within ourselves, until this desert becomes the land of Israel. The desert itself becomes the land of Israel, because it's completely, we've completely built the intention, Yishakel, Israel, upon it. And then all these dry desires, in order to receive, and egoistic desires, we've corrected them using the light that reforms through the Torah, and therefore the Torah ends at the entrance to the land of Israel. We don't need any more. You've corrected yourself. Onwards, all you have are different battles. The conquering of the land is already something else. It's not a problem. The most important thing that you've done until now is your work until here, and then the desert is over. Okay, so I'd like to go back a bit, because everything you're describing is wonderful, but I thought you'd be able to do this with two people as well. But why do you need 10 people, or even five? You talked about our five senses. It's very clear. Five is easy to perceive. Why do we need 10? Well, the minyan, it's a matter of the root and branch, because really you can't have a whole full vessel that deserves this complete fit with the Creator, with His image, with the way He doesn't have an image, but He is dressed within us, and therefore this is how we feel Him in our corrected vessels, as certain qualities, special qualities. This is His image. That's why it's called Bore, come and see, Creator. Because you reach your correction, and then you discover Him, how? Within your corrected vessels. This is called the inspiration of the Holy Divinity, of the Shekhinah. It's called that He, the Creator, descends into Israel, the public of Israel, that He resides within us. And so you cannot make this fit with the Creator. You're right that two people are the minimum. You can also, it's possible to do it with two people, but it's work that is not complete, especially today, that we are standing before a state where the entire world needs to enter this work. It's written that my home will be a home of prayer for all the nations. What is my home? This home where He is revealed, which is called the Holy Temple, which is all holiness, bestowal. The temple is called that it's completely in bestowal, that is separated from our ego, from this world, from the will to receive. And therefore, what happens actually is that today we are in a state where the entire world needs to reach it, and all the nations come to Him, as it's written. So my home, this vessel where the Creator is revealed, is a house of prayer that will be for all the nations. So then in this way, you can't just work with two, you and someone else. You have already to have numbers, great quantities of numbers of people to have begin this process, because the fate of the world, and especially the fate of Israel, because He has to bring this light to the nations, it depends on our work. And therefore, also this fit to the 10 upper sefirot that will be fit to this minyan, this corporeal minyan, or 10. When you worked with the Rabash and he helped you develop into spirituality, you were just two people physically. This was a different time. Did you feel that you were lacking the other people, the group of 10, or was it just a matter of the time, as you said? Well, no. Although also on the other hand, besides of being with him, also I asked him, how can I advance onwards? At the beginning of the period that I studied with him, he said, you have to have an environment. And so I went to all kinds of places and got a lot of people. I gave lectures and I brought students, about 40 students. And until this day, they are studying in all kinds of places, in all kinds of ways, but they are dealing with Kabbalah, I've heard. But your development was finally with the Rabash. Yes, I was next to the Rabash. So the need of the world is changing things now. Yes, it's because of the world. Also, Baal Sulam and the Rabash, they said that it will be this way, that at the end of the 20th century, or to be more precise, from 1995, everything will change in a very sharp, drastic way towards this final state. So let's say the previous generation, probably the Rabash, told you how he grew in the home of Baal HaSulam. Were there more people who were in spiritual attainment there together with him? Yes, but also Baal HaSulam had a group that was up to 6 students of attainment. There weren't many people, hardly. When I reached the Rabash, there were maybe 6 or 7 old men who sat there in the lesson. They were 65, 70, or 80 years old. And there wasn't really a group. The need for a group truly began in reality only today, during these times. Let's say in the last 10 years. Also, we see how much we've advanced. Let's say we began with you 15 years ago in 95. So it's already 17 years. So it was a completely different situation. We still didn't talk about disseminating the wisdom of Kabbalah all over the world, having centers all over the world. It only began at about the year 2002, maybe 2003, no? Maybe I'm not a scale to this, because I remember that you talked about it from the start, that they'll need it, and this is a direction. That's right, but in actuality, until we began doing it, I think in 98 we began, and then in 2000. Right, in 2002, I went to America and gave lectures in 11 cities, and since then all kinds of groups started opening up, and also in Europe and in Eastern Europe, even in 2004, maybe. So then what we're doing now is really a pioneering stage, right? All the groups in the world. We are compelled, we have to do what nature, what the Creator is presenting us with, and we do not need to jump ahead of time. I can talk a lot about this, but the actions that we need to take, we have to take only in accordance to what time is demanding of us, only in accordance to that. Otherwise, it will be premature. I can't go to the street and start yelling out loud, let's study, let's do something. But now, as we're feeling this desert all over the world, that it's truly we are in a desert, then it's already possible to explain to people, why do you feel such dryness in your life? What's wrong with you that you're beginning your life and ending your life? What do you have in the middle? What will happen to you afterwards? What happens within your life? In what way do you live? You don't know what will happen from day to day. What will happen tomorrow? So today, it's already possible with all this great crisis in education, in the family, and in the economy, and everything that's going on. Also, we, as the nation of Israel, we have this feeling that we supposedly live in a normal way, but is it normal constantly to be at war, constantly amongst our haters, constantly to live this way? And we need to understand why the upper force is organizing things for us this way. It's not that we need to suffer in this way or are destined to do this, no. We can change it. Before, we couldn't. Really, it was a time of exile. But now it's not exile anymore. We've received the land of Israel back in a physical sense, and we can reach the land of Israel internally. Let's go through our desert and go up to the spiritual land of Israel. This is all in our hands. So maybe we can move forward a bit to the dissemination of this method, except in the form of education. You talked about two influences, and I'll put myself in the shoes of the viewer once again. I didn't understand what you meant. I have 10 people, a group of people I'm with, and you said we're making efforts, and by that surrounding light influences us and our intention changes. So first of all, can this happen through our education? The education that we give, of course. What happens to us when this light influences me? I'll tell you simply, this is also something that is known very well today. It's called crowd wisdom, wisdom of the crowds. We are discovering this. If people connect in some way, even without rising above their egos, without connecting to the upper force, without drawing the light that reforms, but just connecting, just like that together, they begin to feel that there is a kind of addition, a nice addition to them, say the wisdom of the crowds. When people connect and discuss something, they want to reach an understanding or decision. If they don't cancel one another out, but they want to add to each other, maybe this or that, then they'll always reach something, a result. Yeah, but I'm asking, what will change in my relation to others? I feel that I'll do something if it makes me feel good. I use people for that. But today, reality is presenting itself to you as integral. Everybody's connected. So what will change in me? And when I'm in this group of 10? You have no choice. Whatever you do to people will return to you. So we have to see this network of connections that ties us together, and then there is no choice. You have to change your attitude towards them. You can't constantly be with the arms in your hand, with a gun in your hand to protect yourself. You have to become... When you do it, you're opposite to nature, that nature is beginning to reveal itself as a network of connections, and it's revealing itself more and more and more. And we feel that we are all dependent on one another. And what will you do with this dependence, interdependence? You see also how politics is changing today. Everything is changing today. Countries are telling each other, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do. And there's no other way. Nobody can be independent anymore. Even the biggest country cannot be independent. It's dependent on everybody else. Also the banks, the big companies, the international trade. It's all interdependent. It's all tied together. So in this sense, we have no choice. In this case, we have no choice but to change our nature. Before you explained it, it sounded so magical. This light that reforms influences me. My intention changes. So I'm asking, if I'm going through this education, this integral education, what will happen to me? What will change in my attitude towards other? What do you mean you'll begin to change? If you sit with 10 more, with 9 more students, and our educator is instructing you and explaining to you what to do, how to begin to build what you need to build, how to exit yourself and begin to feel this, the middle of the group, the center of the group. And then he teaches you how to have not only a vessel to receive, to draw from others, to take from others, but also the ability to give. And then with these two reins, you can lead yourself in life in the best way, in the safest way. And then you can connect to this entire network. Then you begin to understand how nature today is running us. You'll begin to understand why all the banks and insurance companies and all those companies are collapsing. Why is trade not working? Why is our industry going bankrupt? You'll begin to understand. They are missing the intention, the second line. And today, the world is beginning to work with these two lines from above and also from below. We need to begin to do that. And if we will attain this knowledge, we will succeed, we will get out of this crisis and live. It will be paradise, truly. Let's hope that people shall hear and take this wisdom. Okay, so we've acquired some of this knowledge today. So please come to the integral education. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Moshe Admoni. Thank you, our viewers at home. And Shabbat Shalom.